What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Wednesday, April 4th, 2018, middle of the day, weekday, hump day, starting that long, slow glide down to Pauhana Friday. And we have got a lot of stuff to talk about today, and I really do mean a lot. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Sam is in our control room today, ready to answer the phone. But I'm going to ask you not to call in unless you've got something really important to share with us, because we have so much in our talking points list to get through today. Don't just call in to hear your voice on the radio, but if you've got something important to say, go ahead and call on in. So getting right on into it, we're starting to find out more and more about that horrible shooting at YouTube yesterday, and as it turns out, it was not, in fact, a love triangle. The shooter doesn't even work for YouTube. She's from San Diego, California, and apparently she literally drove up the length of California to San Bruno to attack YouTube, and the issue was about censorship and demonetization. And apparently this shooter, Nassim Aghdam, is a Muslim vegan animal activist. She's 39 years old. She lived in San Diego, and she was very active on YouTube, and she had a lot of followers. And apparently she was doing videos about veganism. She was doing exercise videos where she'd exercise in front of a green screen and there'd be a background. She's very attractive, and apparently she was upwardly mobile in terms of her career. And she had no direct connection with YouTube other than her YouTube channel. And she was very angry that her channel had been demonetized by YouTube. And so we have this Muslim, vegan, animal activist, you know, you're just another typical Southern good old boy NRA member that we're dealing with here. And apparently she was very angry. She had a vendetta against YouTube. And apparently, this is another classic case of the police just not following up, because her father called the police concerned about her anger at YouTube. And then, of course, she disappeared and the family didn't know where she was. And it turned out she was driving up California. And interestingly enough, just hours before the shooting occurred, the police had found her sleeping in her car, and they had just let her go. Now, the family, again, they warned the police that she might do something about YouTube. She was apparently very, very angry. The father warned them, the brother warned them, and the police did nothing. Now, all of Nassim Aghdam's videos have been taken down. She's been purged from social media. But interestingly enough, one of the videos showed her doing squats. One of the exercise videos, she was doing squats in front of the flag of Israel to the music of Hava Nagila. And people are scratching their heads and wondering about that. Now, she apparently in her posts said she was Persian, but whether that related to her religion or not is unclear. Interestingly enough, corporate media is trying to downplay this lady's Muslim background because it's only fueling the anti-immigrant, anti-refugee furor, if you will. And so Mashable, when they posted a picture of this Nassim Aghdam, they lightened her skin and they gave her green eyes. I mean, talk about fake news. So, again, the question that nobody is asking, it needs to be answered, was she on prescription antidepressants? And looking at her eyes in some of the videos, I have to wonder. The eyes were a little wider than you would normally expect. But, again, very attractive lady on her way up. Apparently, she had actually done some commercial work. Being demonetized shouldn't have pushed her over the edge. I've been demonetized. I'm not on my way to YouTube. Anyway, let's take a phone call. Murr in Wisconsin, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Yeah, I was up late again last night, got entrenched in looking at this, and turns out her spiritual direction is Baha'i. Now, after Sandy Hook, they also had a big thing about Baha'i. This is out of Haifa, Israel, and it is the planned one-world religion.
Okay, well, that would certainly explain the exercise video in front of the flag of Israel.
Wouldn't it, though?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I can send you some links in your email if you'd like.
Yes, I would like to see that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, if the shooter is Baha'i, then the Muslims are off the hook for this one. Now then. Claire's laughing in the other room. All right, so let's get into the domestic politics. There's a lot going on, and the more you dig, the dirtier it gets. We're going to do a shout-out to our on-air affiliates rejoining our network. So the latest texts that are coming out of the FBI between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page seem to indicate that the FBI and the Department of Justice were rushing to get that anti-Trump FISA warrant. They were just pushing to get it as quickly as they possibly could to basically go on after Carter Page. And again, this doesn't sound like due process. It sounds like a rush job to just get to the end. Now, yesterday, Mueller's office informed Trump's lawyers that Trump is no longer a focus of the criminal probe in the Russia-Trump collusion case. And immediately red warning flags went up that this is inappropriate. We don't know what's going on. Trey Gowdy is out there saying Trump should not relax. He should not breathe a sigh of relief. Gowdy said a prosecutor will not normally disclose this information. After all, in theory, Mueller has not yet heard from all the available witnesses. And Gowdy says it's a weird hybrid of criminality and politics. Now, what may be going on is Mueller's trying to play a mind game. He's trying to get Trump and his lawyers to relax in order to blindside him further down the road. So this is definitely dirty politics at work here. Lawyer Robert Barnes has explained that he believes Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein usurped the power of his boss, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, in order to grant Special Counsel Robert Mueller secret authorization to go after Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort. Now, this whole special counsel deal has been inappropriately handled from the start. The way the special counsel statute reads, there has to be a regular Department of Justice investigation. If that investigation uncovers actual evidence of wrongdoing, then a special counsel is appointed by the Attorney General. But Rosenstein simply tapped Robert Mueller and said, "Sick him, boy." Now, Attorney Greg Jarrett is out there saying that Rosenstein and Mueller colluded to break the law. And he's calling on Mueller to resign after this latest Rosenstein memo has surfaced. And apparently in this memo, Robert Mueller admits Rosenstein's order appointing to the special counsel was intentionally vague in order to give him the widest possible latitude for his fishing expedition. Harvard Law professor Alan Dershowitz reacted to reports that Mueller is investigating Donald Trump for possible collusion by saying, you know, this is a made-up crime. There is no such crime as collusion in the federal statute. They're just trying to find something that they can smear Donald Trump with. And Mueller right now appears to be looking not for something to prosecute Trump for, but something with which he can be impeached with if the Democrats take Congress this November, which, unless we stop those illegal immigrants from voting somehow, is probably going to happen. Story coming out of Free Beacon. Momentum is continuing to build on Capitol Hill for the Trump administration to reopen an investigation into former presidential candidate Hillary Clinton and her connections to that anti-Trump dossier written by Christopher Steele, which was the basis for the ongoing investigation by Robert Mueller, as well as for that FISA warrant. Now, that dossier has been discredited. There was no way to verify it. And if Mueller doesn't actually have hard evidence of any wrongdoing, then his investigation is totally illegitimate. And we know now that Christopher Steele was paid via cutouts by the Democratic National Committee and the Hillary Clinton campaign. They just wanted to come up with this document to try and smear Donald Trump. And they really went over the top. I think one of the reasons why this dossier didn't work was the part about the prostitutes. I think that was just a bridge too far for most people. Maybe they were hoping the sensationalist aspect of it would guarantee coverage in the corporate media, but the corporate media is heavily liberal. They would have covered the dossier anyway. I think somebody made a major strategic mistake going with that story about Trump and the two prostitutes. Now, of course, Sessions is insisting he doesn't need to appoint a second special counsel for any of this. He insists he's got a prosecutor out of Utah looking at it who's got all the authority he needs. But again, I think we've got, what is this, our third attorney general in a row that is dedicated to protecting the higher-ups from the consequences of their illegal actions. Now, today is the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And there are commemorations and memorials all over the country, as well there should be. He truly was a great man. And I think his I Have a Dream speech was very inspirational. And this was a man who fought for his principles. He was willing to go to jail for his principles. He led the marches following the Rosa Parks bus strike issue. And he got a million people to come to the mall in Washington, D.C., which is where he did the I Have a Dream speech. And he was seen as a major threat to the status quo, not just in the South. He was a rallying cry for the black community's resistance to the war in Vietnam because of the very obvious practice of the U.S. Army of putting the black kids up on the front lines and keeping the white kids, for the most part, in the safer rear echelon areas. It was discrimination of a sort. And Dr. Martin Luther King was starting to organize a resistance against the Vietnam War on those grounds. So there were a lot of people who really hated him. So this gets back to a story that we had years ago on whatreallyhappened.com. And we reposted it today, and you might want to take a look at it. And it has to do with the fact that James Earl Ray was framed for the assassination of Martin Luther King. And I'm not the only one who thinks so. Even Dr. King's family think he was framed. They are convinced that Dr. King was assassinated by the FBI on orders from the Nixon White House. Now, what we found here, this gentleman named Ted Wilburn, who lived right there where the assassination took place, he went on in and he took a bunch of photographs, and this is what we found. You're probably very familiar with this iconic image of Dr. King lying on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel, and everybody around him are all pointing in the same direction upward. And when that photo was published in the corporate media, it said everybody's pointing at the rooming house window where James Earl Ray had fired the fatal shot. Well, Ted took a much wider angle shot of that exact same scene from the exact same location. And by looking at this article, what you can see is everybody is pointing to the roof of the building next door to the rooming house. Now, remember, James Earl Ray claimed to be innocent of the shooting. He was convinced by his government-appointed lawyer to plead guilty, for which he would be given a reduced sentence. So James Earl Ray pled guilty. The judge sentenced him to life without parole. James Earl Ray said, "I want to recant my plea." And the judge said, "It's too late. We got you. You're going away." And that was basically it. And James Earl Ray died in prison of an illness that could have been cured had he been allowed to leave the prison. Now, a little postscript to this involves the rifle that was planted on James Earl Ray. Because as it turns out, it had a manufacturing defect. Every single bullet fired through that rifle has a deep gouge along one side. And the bullets that were removed from Dr. Martin Luther King do not have that gouge. And on the basis of that evidence, James Earl Ray was trying to petition for a new trial. And the FBI said, "Well, no, the rifle was improperly cleaned. We'll have to have another ballistic test somewhere down the road." And they knew he was ill, and they just stalled and stalled and stalled until James Earl Ray died. And the judge threw the case out of court saying nobody else had standing to reopen this case. Now, looking back with the hindsight of wisdom, after Saddam's nukes and Assad's sarin gas and all the rest of it, it's easy to see the pattern of deception and cover-up that has come to characterize the assassinations carried out by the U.S. government, whether it's Dr. King or John F. Kennedy or Robert F. Kennedy or whoever. It's a very bloody business being at the high levels of the United States government. But we need to remember that Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated by the deep state. And even Dr. King's family agrees James Earl Ray was framed. He was the patsy, just like Lee Harvey Oswald was the patsy. Now, getting into the war zones, another convoy of militants and their families have departed from the district of Douma in eastern Ghouta under the agreement with the government. According to Sana, the convoy consisted of 24 buses, including 1,198 militants and their families, and was set to move to the northern part of Aleppo province, which is controlled by the Turkish forces. And on April 4th, which is today, another batch of militants reportedly started preparing to leave Douma. So this is all but over. The militants are leaving. ISIS is gone. Meanwhile, as the militants pull on out, the Syrian army continues to go through what they've left behind, and once again, they have found documents confirming U.S. covert cooperation with the Eastern Ghouta terrorists. This keeps happening time and time and time again. Now, remember where Trump the other day said that we were pulling out of Syria, let somebody else take care of it, and then Saudi Arabia said the U.S. should stay on in. Well, apparently Donald Trump has done a 180. He agreed in a meeting with his national security team to keep U.S. troops in Syria until ISIS is defeated. Well, ISIS has been defeated. And what this tells us is that in point of fact, Donald Trump is not in control. He may be the president, but he's not in control. He's not acting presidential. He's not the boss. He's just a facade for the real power behind the throne, the neocons, the war hawks. Now, getting on down to Great Britain, this little kerfuffle with Russia over the Skripal poisoning is turning into a disaster for Great Britain. And one of the articles about this is from Russia Today. Britain's establishment is desperate for Russian guilt and will ignore anything to get it. And it's not just Russia who's saying that. Livingston is saying that Britain's Skripal claims is just lies and smears. And, of course, Britain is now being forced to backtrack because Porton Down could not find any evidence that the Novichok that was used to attack Skripal came from Russia. I remember yesterday they came out with that new spin saying, well, even if somebody else did it, and even if the Novichok came from someplace other than Russia, it had to be done with Putin's permission, which nobody was buying that. They're trying to Iraq Russia. Oh, Russia's got chemical weapons. They're coming to use them on us. We must attack them first. Now, the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons is saying that it will provide Moscow with data on the Skripal case only if Great Britain shows what they're terming politely to be goodwill. Of course, nobody's expecting London to do that at all. London is trying to basically keep all the actual hard data under wraps and basically just rely on, trust us, we're the government. We would never lie about something this important. Now, the British Foreign Office has now backed off and said they never claimed the nerve agent came from Russia. They tweeted that, and they've now deleted that. So they got caught in a lie. Yes, the British government is lying. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And before we get back to the news and phone calls, if you can help out Republic Broadcasting, we really do need your help. We're in a war with the corporate media. We're in a war with the war hawks. We're in a war with the U.S. Government itself. They need to lie you into a war. We're trying to truth you into peace. So if you can help on out, the address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity, cash, is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And the phone number, if you want to call on in and become a recurring subscriber, is 800-724-2719, extension 03. And don't forget the front site promo that's going on right now. I understand that's doing really, really well. A lot of people have taken advantage of that. And for $500, you can get a lifetime commander membership at the Front Sight Firearms Training Academy. This is a really good deal. If I lived in the western part of the U.S., I would go for this deal myself. This offer ends May 5th, so you need to act now. All right, let's grab a phone call now from Terry in California. Aloha, Terry. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, I really can't let this go by. I'm going to have to ask a question, then hang up, and you answer later. I'm a Vietnam veteran, Marine Corps, worked all over I Corps, and I wonder where in the world you got the information that we put the blocks out in front when the white kids were in the back. That's it. Goodbye.
Okay, well, this was a major complaint that was coming out of the civil rights movement of the time. That in point of fact, I mean, there were white officers out on the front lines, but that there was a bias whereas white children, especially from more prominent families, were kept behind. I remember seeing this picture of a very young Al Gore during his quote-unquote service, where he was basically toured around the rear echelon areas. And the picture is rather funny because he's actually got the barrel of his M16 pointed at his own head. Anyway, let's take another phone call. Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, at least we wouldn't have had to hear from global warming anymore. That was the case.
Yeah, true. I'm going to presume the gun wasn't loaded because of Al Gore being Al Gore.
Yeah, guns don't kill people. People kill people. He kills himself, right? Hey, Mike, you know, the OPCW, I mean, do you realize if Putin wasn't there and you had like a John McCain, neocon, because Russia has them in their government, you know, in the military-industrial complex over there, we'd be already in a world war, you know. Like I said, how much more of this crap can people take? It's all a lie. We all know that now, but they're not going to admit it because it doesn't fit the agenda, you know. So the OPCW is a joke. I mean, it's just a political hack group, you know. Just like remember the plane that got shot down over Ukraine? We all know the Ukrainians shot it down. You know,
well, believe it or not, that's being fanned up again, and we're going to talk about that in the next segment after the commercial break. But yes, it's all propaganda. All wars are started with lies, and that is an historical reality. Whether it's Adolf Hitler and the Gleiwitz affair, or the claim that the Lusitania was not smuggling weapons to Great Britain, or the claim that Pearl Harbor was a completely unprovoked surprise attack. Looking back on history, we've come to understand how these things are maneuvered and manipulated, and the public is lied to. Torpedoes in the Gulf of Tonkin, Spanish mine in Havana Harbor. How many more times do you have to be lied into a war before you say, I will not be lied into any more wars? My children are too precious to me to let them be killed and crippled on the basis of lies, frauds, and hoaxes.
Well, you got the Power Siberia pipeline going into China that's being worked on. Going to be completed sooner rather than later. It's ahead of schedule.
Yep.
You have Nord Stream 2, right? You have Turk Stream. So, I mean, the British, if they really want to go to that point, you know, when it comes down to it, the next cold spell where they have, like, 0-degree weather, the Russians are going to, they should, you know, Putin should come out, whoever's president, and if they, because this is going to drag on, Mike, you know that, until there's a war. It's going to come to the point where the Russians need to come out with a press conference and say, you know, we had it.
You mean we've had it? Okay, yeah. Russia's not going to do that. You know, Putin is trying to avoid doing anything that will escalate the situation. The escalations are all coming from the West, from Great Britain with the Skripal nonsense. We've got a lot of American politicians saying, well, McMaster's said, we have not punished Russia enough. We have not made this costly enough for Russia. So all of the provocations and escalations are coming from the Western side. Putin is playing this very, very cool. He's playing it like a chess master. And he doesn't want a war. China doesn't want a war. The United States wants a war. They feel they need a war. And all of the NATO and U.S. allies, they feel they need a war to get out of the mess that they've made of their own countries. And it's a game they've played twice before with big mistake number one and big mistake number two. Anyway, Dustin, we got to let you go. We got to take a break for commercials. We're going to come back and take one more phone call. Then we're probably going to close the lines for a while because I need to get some news out here. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're going to take one more phone call, then we're going to close the lines because I've got a lot of news to get through today. So, Peter in California, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike, I just want to, I'll make it real quick, but the guy who called in from the Marine Corps in Vietnam, you're right. Blacks disproportionately served in the military in Vietnam. They disproportionately served in the front lines. The reason for that, and the reason for this guy's incredulity, which you could hear in his voice, is what was going on where white kids for a long time, so the last year, could get a college deferment or with a little political connection, get into the National Guard like George Bush, or they could get out completely like Bill Clinton, for instance. So they had deferments open to them that black kids didn't have as much of. Secondly, the Marine Corps, which didn't rely on the draft, relied mostly on volunteers. They didn't have that sort of thing. They were volunteers. They had less blacks in the Marine Corps proportionally. So the disproportion happened mainly in the Army. The third thing was the AFQT, Armed Forces Qualification Test, which is basically an IQ test and classifies you. It was, you know, we lost 10,000 helicopters. That's a lot of helicopters to be fixed. The people who scored the highest got in the technical branches of the Army. The people who scored the lowest went into the infantry. That was disproportionately black kids. That's it.
Yeah, that is. And then, of course, later on, there was this claim that the IQ tests were themselves racist. Thank you for the phone call, Peter. We're going to let you go. I got an email from somebody who's a Native American saying that their cousins and brothers, when they served in Vietnam, were also put on the front lines under the excuse that they were better trackers than the other servicemen. So, again, there was a racial bias in those deployments here. Now, getting on back to this whole Skripal situation, the British Foreign Office is now denying that they ever claimed the Novichok came from Russia. But they had actually tweeted that out on their Twitter feed. And then there was that Boris Johnson interview that said exactly the same thing. Now, the Foreign Office has deleted the tweet. They were caught doing it, and that's made matters worse. And so now everybody is understanding this was just a huge lie. And so the Labour Party is out there rebuking Boris Johnson, saying he's got egg on his face and that he misled the public on the Novichok source. And yes, he did. Now, a top German Christian Democratic Union politician is blasting Britain for the absence of evidence in the Skripal case because Germany, going along with Great Britain, expelled four Russian diplomats. And that damaged relations between Germany and Russia, and that damage didn't need to occur. And so Germany's politicians are getting very, very angry and upset that they got suckered in on this deal to their own detriment. Now, Vladimir Putin, remember what I just got done saying. He wants to keep things cool. He wants to de-escalate the situation. And he's out there saying he's not interested in apologies. He just wants some common sense. He wants common sense to prevail and just say, we have this crime. We have an attempted assassination. We have this agent, this nerve agent. We don't have anything else. So now that the Skripal is all the fault of Russia narrative is crumbling. Quick, let's have a distraction. And so now there's a story that appeared just today coming out of Sputnik News where the Dutch prosecutors looking into the downing of Malaysian Airlines Flight 17 have now come out with the conclusion that the reason there is no radar track indicating a Buk missile rising up from Russia to strike Malaysian Airlines Flight 17 is that it was flying so fast it was invisible to radar. That's it. They're trying to flog this dead horse one more time. So their rationale is the fact that they did not see the missile come from Russia on radar is now their proof the missile came from Russia. Now, don't forget, Russia's got radar data indicating a missile came up from the Ukrainian-held areas. And I still think there may have been an attempt to shoot down Vladimir Putin's presidential jet that went wrong because that jet was in the same area as Malaysian Airlines Flight 17. Putin's jet is a converted Russian commercial airliner, not as grandiose as Air Force One, and it's painted in a livery that is strikingly similar to that of the Malaysian Airlines. And there's that story about this Ukrainian pilot who basically landed on his airbase with empty pylons on the wings, just freaking out saying, I got the wrong plane, I got the wrong plane. Facebook has stepped back in to try and distract from the embarrassing Skripal disaster by saying, oh, we found more Russian accounts than previously acknowledged. We found more than 200 Facebook and Instagram pages controlled by a Russian organization that meddled in the U.S. presidential election. And then it goes on to say these pages and accounts were all in Russian. Okay, Facebook, how does a Facebook page or an Instagram post influence the U.S. presidential elections by doing it in a language very few Americans actually speak? Let's just talk about that one. Now, as I mentioned before, the outgoing National Security Advisor, H.R. McMaster, is saying the United States has failed to impose sufficient costs on Russia and that this is emboldening the Kremlin. And we're hearing all these people in Washington, D.C. saying that Russia is now interfering and meddling with the world, that Russia is limiting the ability of the United States to exert its influence over the world. In other words, Russia's cutting in on our action. They're cutting in on our toif. You know, get the button in, men. We're going to the mattresses here. Now, do you remember when Crimea voted to secede from Ukraine and then they voted to merge with the Russian republics? It caused a great deal of difficulty because Crimea's primary connection with the land still goes through Ukraine, and Ukraine started shutting those down. So Russia said, no problem, we're going to build you a bridge. And the bridge is open for car traffic 6 months ahead of schedule. We ought to get those Russians to build this light rail system here at the bottom of the hill, which is like 3 years behind schedule at this point. Now, right now, the bridge is open for car traffic. And then toward the end of the year, I guess they're building more lanes to it. Trucks will be allowed to cross the bridge toward the end of the year. Now, this is a 19-kilometer long span across the Kerch Strait. It is the longest bridge in Europe. And it will also have a railway section, which will open in early 2019. Boy, they know how to build them there, don't they? Meanwhile, Russia has set up their latest radar called the Nebo-M. And it has completely, well, they're saying close the area over the Black Sea, by which they mean these radars see everything. In fact, this radar is so powerful, it can see objects up in space outside the atmosphere. And so now that is in place to close off a possible attack over the Black Sea. We're coming up here on Trump's deadline for the Iran deal. This is May 12th. Basically, Donald Trump is saying that if Iran does not agree to modify the deal and include their long-range ballistic missiles in the deal, that the U.S. will unilaterally pull out from the accord. Now, everybody else thinks the P5+1 is a great deal. Iran surrendered its sort of medium-enriched uranium. They're not doing any enrichment. They never were trying to build a bomb. Nobody ever found any evidence about that. But this is just another way of demonizing and bashing Iran by saying, oh, Iran is the threat in the Middle East. Really? Iran has not initiated a war of conquest in over 200 years, and certainly not since the Iranian Revolution of 1979. This is all about Israel wanting domination over the Middle East. This is all about the United States wanting payback for the Iranian people kicking out their U.S. puppet ruler, the Shah of Iran. It's the private central bankers wanting to erase one of the few remaining countries on earth that don't subscribe to private central banking. Now, Iran is not going to surrender those long-range missiles. They don't have nuclear weapons, but they need to have some kind of weapons to deter an invasion or an attack. Frankly, they're already overmatched. Both the United States and Israel have nuclear weapons, but I don't think they're going to back down anymore. Because they've already seen what happens in other countries that agree to disarm. The U.S. will come on in, and the U.S. will say, if you will give up this or that thing, we promise we'll leave you alone. They did it in Iraq with the chemical weapons. Saddam surrendered them under U.N. supervision, and the U.S. invaded anyway, screaming about non-existent nuclear weapons. Syria surrendered all of their chemical weapons. The U.S. attacked. Iran would be an idiot to give up any more of their weapons. So would North Korea. The pattern is just too obvious. Now, just for a moment, imagine that down in Alabama, there's a white town, and they decided they were going to freeze the tender for plots of land in a new neighborhood because it risked allowing blacks to move in. What would be the response in the corporate media? Oh, it's racism. It's horrible. It's terrible. And what would you think of the town's mayor for claiming the decision was taken in the interest of preserving the white character of his community? Oh, he's a bigot. Really? It'd be all over the newspapers. But if you replace the word white with Jewish, this describes what just happened in Kfar Vradim, a small town of 6,000 residents in Galilee in Israel's north. And Vradim's policy cannot be judged in isolation. It apparently is quite common all over Israel, where there is discrimination against Palestinians buying land and buying homes. But it's okay for Israel. Have you noticed that we have all these liberals who are all in favor of liberation, or rather intervention here and there because of universal human rights? Oh, we have to intervene in Syria because Assad is killing his people. And, oh, we have to intervene in Libya because Gaddafi was killing his people and Saddam was killing his people and so forth and so on. But when Israel kills Palestinians, everybody shrugs. And that proves that the humanitarianism is a total fraud. It's just another excuse for wars of conquest. Now, this Passover massacre has turned into a tremendous public relations disaster. Israel is talking tough. They're refusing to back down. They're saying there will be no investigations. It's all the Palestinians' fault, and not that many people got hurt anyway. And the Gazans are going to continue to march, aiming for May 15th, which is Nakba Day, which is the day after the United States is expected to open its new embassy in Jerusalem. So the Gazans are not backing down. They've got nothing left to lose. Now, there's a video that was put up by this gentleman named Mohammed Karim. He is a soccer player, very well known in Palestine. And he's just there near where the protesters are marching. They're marching peacefully. There's no rioting. There's no violence going on. And he's got his cell phone on a selfie stick. And he's just shooting himself, talking about what's going on. And right in the middle of it, he's shot in the knee by an Israeli sniper, which has not only ended his soccer career, he's going to need knee replacement surgery just to be able to walk again. And this video confirms reports that the IDF are intentionally aiming for joints to permanently cripple the Palestinians. And you're not going to see this in the American corporate media. Now, here's a positive note, a little bit of a breakthrough that music can soothe the savage beast. During this cultural exchange that's been going on between the two Koreas, this K-pop group, which is very popular in South Korea, but banned in North Korea, was allowed to go up to Pyongyang and have a concert to which Kim Jong-un attended. And he came out of it saying that he liked the music, that he was deeply moved by it. And that there may be a lifting of these cultural bans. Now, this is a far cry from just a few years ago where South Korea was literally blasting K-pop music into North Korea using giant speakers at the edge of the DMZ. The two Koreas are trying to move together. The U.S. doesn't want that to happen, but it looks like Kim Jong-un is starting to get on board along with Moon Jae-in. And that's a really, really good sign. So let's talk about the economic news, because the trade war is really starting to ramp up. The U.S. has released a China tariff list targeting 1,300 products. And they're subject to a 25% tariff because of Trump's crackdown on the trade imbalance. And the issue here is that a lot of these products that are made in China cannot be made here. That's the real issue. Our short-sighted, greedy CEOs, aided and abetted by a complicit government, have allowed American manufacturing to decay over the last three, going on four decades. And the reason that China is such a manufacturing powerhouse, they know how to make things. And the United States has forgotten. We can't actually make an iPhone here in the United States. And so what's going to happen is that the American consumer is going to be forced to pay 25% more for the same Chinese products, which the government will collect as yet another tax on the American people. And until somebody starts actually pulling back from all this military spending and investing in new factories, nothing's going to change. This was a bad, bad idea. Now, do you know how Donald Trump is at war on Amazon? Well, an interesting little story has just surfaced out of ORAS. Apparently, Trump dined with Oracle co-CEO Safra Catz Tuesday night. And Oracle is a company that is currently in direct competition to land a major Pentagon contract worth billions. Now, something is going on, because if nothing was going on, Trump would have to know better than to be meeting with this co-CEO when this contract is still under negotiation and he is publicly attacking Oracle's competition for this contract. We're going to take another break for commercials, and we will be right back.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigraLeaf. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigraLeaf migraine formula. MigraLeaf is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigraLeaf for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354, or visit MIG911.com.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day. Only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our
boss. And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're talking about the economy, and it was quite a wild ride on the stock market today, where it started out really, really low and slowly but surely got shoved up. The Dow ended up 230, and it's almost counterintuitive when you think about all this talk about escalating tariffs and trade sanctions. Now, none of the tariffs are actually in effect yet, but it has to be or should be worrying people. And we have to keep an eye on that because we know the government rigs so many of the figures. They fudge the rate of inflation. They're certainly fudging the unemployment numbers by a huge margin. And somebody was noticing that as the investors move away from the old guard tech companies like Facebook and Google and Twitter, which are seeing their stocks go down, they're sort of casting around for the next wonder stock, like blockchain companies and so forth. And it may be a bit of a panic, or they may be victims of their own greed, because in a highly volatile market, in uncertain times, what wise and prudent investors would be looking for was something that's safe and stable and growing slowly but predictably. And instead, it's almost like investors are looking for the next wonder stock, the one that they're going to buy in and ride to a vast fortune in a few weeks and then be able to retire. And that's almost like the kind of thinking that you see in the casinos in Las Vegas and Atlantic City, where people walk on in just dreaming of putting one quarter in that giant slot machine and hitting the big jackpot at once. Or people who buy a lottery ticket, dreaming that they're going to win the entire $50 million or whatever. It's not realistic. And it shows that investor thinking on Wall Street is less about cool analysis and more about magical and wishful thinking here. Now, pardon me, David Marsh is the managing director at Think Tank, the official Monetary and Financial Institutes Forum, is out there saying the tech stock sell-off is just now getting started. And he's had this interesting little comment saying, you put them on a pedestal one day and they're great, and you knock them off the next day. And it's obviously bad for investors, and it's bad for the underlying company. Volatility can actually harm the company whose stock is being traded, along with the various pump and dump scams that are out there. There have actually been companies that have done a great business. They have an IPO. And then they get targeted for a pump and dump by the scammers. The stock gets run way on up. The scammers make their profit. The stock crashes. And the company, through no fault of its own, it's driven out of business and all of its employees let go. This is why there has to be regulation of the financial markets. But all we hear from Wall Street is deregulate, deregulate, deregulate. And all we hear from Washington, D.C. is, sure, we trust you. You'll be fine. Now, a lot of people are starting to pick up on this story. There's $21 trillion missing from the United States government. That's $65,000 for every person in America. That is a lot of money. Where did it go? And is it really just $25 trillion that's gone missing? There's no real full-on audit of either the U.S. government, the Pentagon, or the Federal Reserve, which is supposed to take their word for it. But that may be the reason they're trying to basically change the Constitution. The American people are waking up to just how much real wealth has been sucked out of their pockets by this banker governmental industrial complex. I'll come up with a better name for it during the break here. But that's why they want us disarmed. They're realizing that Americans, when they lose their homes, when they lose their savings, when they can't even eat, that's when they're going to get angry. We're going to take a break now for station identification.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months.
A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.